Good morning. Come. Come into this place, which we make special by our presence, which you have made special just by being here. Come into this place where the ordinary is sanctified, where the human is celebrated, and the compassion is expected. Come into this place because together we make it a sacred space. And welcome a special hello to you for coming out in the cold. A special hello to you, especially if you're visiting with us today. We are glad that you are here. Pastor Tom has just an announcement he'd love to share with you today.
Yes, it is good to be together on this cold January. Just remember, it can't get a whole lot worse, right? Yeah. This is, and then the days are getting longer. Have you noticed? And that's a sign of better things to come. Couple things. Last week, I invited you to sign a card for David Wood's retirement. Many of you did. Thank you. If you didn't, or if you weren't here last week, would you take your pen and just write a little note, congratulations to David. And Audrey and I are having a retirement dinner after church today with Dave and with Rose, and we'll present to them your card. And he'll open it and he'll say, oh, I love all of these people. Thank you for allowing them to give me a word of blessing on my retirement day. So that's the plan. If I didn't have a pen, so I don't have a pen back there, but sign your name, give a message if you didn't do that last week, and think of us around 12:30 today, eating Chinese food and celebrating your love for David and his retirement. That's the first thing. The second thing is, if we don't have your email, and you have an email, I suppose if you don't have email today, you're not alive. I mean, you can't do anything anymore, can you? You can't do anything without a computer, and it's really frustrating for some of us. But if we don't have your email address, please give it to Pastor Ng this morning. We want to make sure we are in communication with everyone.
And that includes the choir, okay,
as well as the congregation. And the final thing is, our design now, our hope, see if this works, is for Ng and me to send out on Saturday late afternoon an announcement about church on Sunday. And we'll list the hymns and let you can listen to them, sing along with them, so you're prepared to sing. And the scripture and sermon, and also a connection to Sing for Joy, which is a 30-minute program Saturday night and Sunday morning, which brings together wonderful church music and scripture based on the lectionary each week. Now, not every 30-minute program of music of Sing for Joy would be your favorite music. Sometimes we listen to it and, oh, that's not, we didn't care for that. But stick with it, because over time, you'll hear some beautiful music that will touch your heart. It will be your kind of music. So we invite you to be a part of that. So may God bless us then as we worship together this day.
It is neat how Pastor and I communicate. We, you know, he'll send a text and I'll send a text and we'll go back and forth and back and forth. I feel like we are two people with one brain. So you think everything? No, I do. But it is wonderful. It's a joy to serve with you and to serve with all of you. And let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we formally begin. We've been worshiping God by celebrating one another already, but join me in our call to worship. Come. Come all who are weary of pretending. Come all who long for faith that is honest.
We come as we are.
Jesus came to the river not to stand above us, but to stand with us.
He stepped into the water of ordinary life.
In the Jordan, God chose solidarity over separation, presence over purity, love over distance.
We worship God who comes alongside.
So come, not set apart, not cleaned up, not complete, but open to grace that meets us where we are.
Let us worship our ever alongside God.
And please rise in body or spirit and sing verses 1 and 4 of hymn 409, God is Here. Let us pray. God of the muddy, sacred river, we confess how easily we draw lines between us and them. Meet us again in the waters of baptism. Wash away our fear and teach us to live with and alongside all whom you love. Amen. My friends, hear the good news. Jesus chose solidarity over separation. In baptism, we are not lifted above others. We are joined to them in love. We are forgiven. You are forgiven. We are held. You are held. We belong. You belong. Thanks be to God.
To the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Let us say together what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us offer to one another some sign of God's love and peace. And I forgot, there is a PSA up here, which I'm going to have to note for my friends at Fair Oaks. For all football fans who have Verizon Cable, try channel 775 to watch the Rams versus the Bears this evening at 6:30. So that's a good PSA. We are one-stop shopping. I don't know who wrote this, but I... Okay, all right, so that's good. It's good. It's all right. For if you... It's a Spanish channel. All right, so it's educational. This is going to be educational as well as, just so you know, yeah, tonight, 7:75 to watch the Rams and the Bears. That's excellent. Excellent.
Spanish football, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, very good. This is a holiday weekend, as we know. Martin Luther King Day. Tomorrow. That's a very special holiday for me, as I attended the same seminary as Martin Luther King, had the same ethics professor. same person who taught ethics to Martin Luther King taught me. And my Old Testament professor was a student with King when he was in seminary. So this is a special time for me. I want to say the black church messed me up. Messed me up. Which is what we do on Sunday, preacher. I mean, our task when we stand before God's people is to mess them up a little bit. You know, get inside their head and their soul and their heart. And so they're different. They're changed. They're off balance a little bit. And they go out from church wondering, how do I do this now? Because it's nothing like I thought it was going to be. And now I've got to be this different person than when I came in. 10:30 in the morning. Mess me up. We may share brains, but the black church shared its soul. I've got a black soul inside me. So that's why these Presbyterians, you know what I mean, these Presbyterians put up with this Baptist preaching that you and I, we can't get out of that. I mean, we can try, but we've been in the water. Yeah, and we've been messed up.
I'm telling you, I have several people who will say, won't God do it?
Won't God do it? All right.
Amen.
So I hope you get messed up a little bit today in worship, and you'll never be the same. So let's pray together. Oh God, hear our prayers as we come before you this day. Hear the prayers of those who are crying out in pain in their hearts. All of us share pain together. Hear the ones who are weeping with grief, loss, disappointment. Hear the prayers of those who are broken and lonely. Loving God, hear the prayers of your people. Heal our pain. Restore our hope. Touch us in the broken places so that we can be whole. Lead us through every valley that we have to walk through. Some of those valleys are dark to us. Lead us through troublesome times. These are troubling times. Lead us to you. Help us to face our fears with courage. Fear of saying the wrong thing, or fear of being misunderstood or labeled, fear of others. Open us to your presence of love and grace that drives out fear. And when fear is gone, we are free. Teach us this day. Mess us up. Get inside our hard hearts. our petrified thinking. Help us to struggle this day to make sense of your world and your word so that we can be faithful disciples. Open our minds and hearts. There are so many voices. Keep us open to hear your voice. God of us all, hear our prayers, spoken and felt. Hear the prayers that cannot even be put into words, offered deep within us. And with a vision that comes from you, guide us toward the light of our Epiphany faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, we pray. The one who taught us in prayer to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And I invite you to arise, embody your spirit, and sing hymn number 164, Down Galilee's Slow Roadways. Be seated, and would the ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering.
including the gift of one another. We thank you, and our thanks cannot be put into words. Take this portion of the gifts that we receive and may they be used for the good of all of your creation.
Buenos dias, todos. Oh, good morning. There's two readings this morning. First from the book of Matthew, chapter 3, starting at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from the heavens said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And from the book of John, chapter 12, verse 26. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. A reading of the word.
If you were able to come to church last week, you might remember that this was the same scripture, the first part, Matthew 3, that we looked at last week. And I just felt that there was something more to say about this. Can you imagine that scripture would have more than one message? But that seems that way. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was in my early 20s, I moved out of my parents' house for the first time. I did end up moving back a couple times. But I moved in with a friend from work, the library, and we had a lot in common, but we also had a lot of differences. She was a few decades older than I was. It was no big deal, but the biggest difference between us was that Nancy was a Scotch whiskey connoisseur. And I don't even mess with wine for communion because my antidepressant is perfect and I am not going to mess that up. Plus, you know, at the time, I was a Baptist pastor. I was 24. And while I'm sure that Baptists have an occasional glass of wine, they're certainly not going to do it in front of anyone. No. Nancy's affinity for top shelf scotch, it wasn't a problem, but it did get a little boring to hear about the seamless integration and the involving and enfolding finish and how ice just numbs the palate receptors. But the worst part about her hobby was when she asked me to go to the wine and spirit shop. The worst part, I've worked at the Shaler Library off and on since I was 14. I have a strange name. I have a strange looking face. People know who I am in Shaler, it seems. And so the first time when I went in and came out and saw a bunch of young moms and preschoolers and people saying, oh, Miss Ng, how you doing? I decided that from then on, I was going to go to the state store in Robinson Township to get Nancy's whiskey. And so I did. And you know, I'm embarrassed because I cringe when I think of my 20-something-year-old self. I was afraid that somebody might see me going into one of those places. As if being a teetotaler made me above the people who shop there. And that's embarrassing, and I am sorry about that. And I wonder if all of us have had seasons in their lives where they wouldn't be caught dead in a certain place, maybe. And maybe some of us still have those places and spaces, neighborhoods we'd rather avoid, or groups of people we want to keep at a distance. Now, like I said, last week we looked at the same scripture from Matthew, the story of Jesus' baptism, and we focused on the fact that Jesus was pronounced beloved. God loved him before he did anything. And since we are baptized into the life of Christ with Jesus, we would do well to remember that our intrinsic belovedness is nothing we need to earn and nothing we can lose. And today I thought if we just take a couple of moments and look into that whole question of why Jesus stepped into the waters of baptism at all. Why he stood with those people, common sinners. Because I'll tell you, this was a very embarrassing story for the early church. And when they were putting the Bible together and deciding what are we going to do with this? Why did Jesus have to be baptized? John's gospel leaves it out altogether. Why did Jesus, fully God and fully human, but no sin, why did Jesus participate in this purity ritual? And we know John even says this is ridiculous, but Jesus insists. Why was it so important to Jesus to be immersed, to stand in the water? And what does that mean for us? And so I thought we could take a look at this image right here. This one here. This is a very common icon. Not this exact one, but the elements in this icon here are part of the iconography in the Orthodox Church. And you see there are many differences if you pay careful attention and you read an icon. So everything in it has a story and has meaning. When we see in here in the Western Church, when we see images of Jesus being baptized, Jesus might be standing in the Jordan up to his knees, or up to his ankles, and John's going to baptize him. But in the Eastern Church, Jesus is depicted standing in the water up to his neck. His head is the only thing that remains outside of the water. And in most icons of baptism, Jesus is completely naked. There's no cloth or anything. This one, he has a cloth on, but that's again to remind those who are praying with this icon as an aid that Jesus is also reminding us about being the first Adam coming into this world without anything. Naked as the day he was born, nothing to separate Jesus from the world at all. And then one thing that I found was really interesting was, I don't know if you can see, but there are two little fish at the bottom. And if you look at the details of those represent the river gods, the ancient gods, that Jesus was essentially standing alongside, not afraid of them, afraid of these gods that many people were still worshiping and giving allegiance to. But Jesus is saying, I have dominion over you. I'm not afraid. I'm getting right in there with you. And if you look at the faces on those riding these, they're scared. They're moving off. They're moving off very quickly. And so it's very important when we look at this icon, and when people have used this icon as a tool for prayer, to incorporate all of that message right here. Jesus getting right in to the waters of humanity with us for good and for bad.
And I played around with AI this week, and I wanted to create something in which there would be little river gods representing the gods that try to pull us away from our one true God. Power and money and greed and nationalism and fear. But the AI, it wasn't so bad, but it just wasn't. It was. And if we look at the next one, now this image here, next, is a contemporary painting. It's by a woman named Jennifer Whitman. And what she has done is just captured a very specific moment in the baptism of Jesus. Right when Jesus is still under the water. His body, she's got the fish there too, right here in the fish with the rest of the world, not able to breathe, relying on trust that whatever's coming next, God is going to be right there, demonstrating Jesus' own desire to be fully present in this real messy world. And both of these images, created centuries apart, remind us that Jesus does not love from a distance. Jesus doesn't save from the side. Jesus goes in and under and alongside. And later in John's gospel, that Peggy read, whoever serves me must also follow me. And where I am, my servant will be also. And we take seriously the call to follow God, and we use Jesus, God incarnate, and also human, who did human things like we do, then we are called to stand and get into the messy waters with one another. Jesus in the river, among the broken, the complicated, the feared. And sometimes that means we have to follow Jesus to those places where we caught dead. Not just to look from the sidelines, but to stay and to be changed. One of the first time I experienced something like this was when I was in my early 20s, and I went with the middle school students at North Hills Community Baptist Church, and we went to Washington, D.C., and we stayed in a church right in the middle of the city, and we were told that we would be a part of the morning prayer breakfast. And so we thought, nice suburban Baptist from Pittsburgh, that we would be the ones making the food and putting out the food and standing back in the church's little kitchen while all of the poor, unfortunate souls would come forth. And maybe the pastor would be asked to share the message of the good news with all those poor, unfortunate souls. But it wasn't that way at all. It was glorious. Every day we went down for a week, we went down and we worked in the kitchen all together. And we didn't know who, we knew it was Pittsburgh because we all had an accent. But we didn't know who was a poor, unfortunate soul. In fact, we all are in our own way. And we didn't know who had a home that they could go to every night. And we didn't know who we were supposed to learn from or who we were supposed to look for to see Christ. Because Christ, God's love, was everywhere in each one of us. And we worked together, and we sat together, and we shared a meal. And I still talk to those kids who were in middle school then. And some of them have chosen their careers impacted by what happened. Not on that trip overall, it has nothing down, but right there in that church's prayer breakfast every morning, Jordan. It was reciprocity. not who's serving, not who's being served. And so as we stand here on the beginning of this new year, I wonder in what ways we might be called to stand in places where we'd rather not go, in places where we might feel uncomfortable with those alongside us. It's exciting to think about, and it's scary. But we can take comfort in knowing that God has gone before us and hasn't left, and He's standing with us in our own messy spaces. And may that give us the courage and the strength to thrive no matter where we find ourselves. Amen. Now today, and this is just one possible first step if you have been considering joining the church. You don't have to do this, and it's a process. We're very good on processes. But if you'd like to come forward as we sing our final hymn, this would be a great way to do it. You certainly don't have to, but we welcome you. We're starting a new thing where if you've decided that we have one united with the church, we're going to have little new member desserts and like hang out. It's going to be a good time. Clothing's optional. Not good. This might just be one way for you to share this great joy with us. And today is the day that maybe you just need somebody to just pray with you. You just need somebody. You need to come forward for whatever reason. You can come forward now. We sing together, rising in body or spirit. Together we serve, verses